Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. I am so happy to be back. Work kept me away the last two shows, but I'm back now and I am ready to go. Welcome to Rhinestone Royals Productions, and this is From the Heart with Oliver. I'm so excited about tonight's show. First, I would like to thank Rhinestone Royals and Southern Hospitality Productions for this amazing show opportunity. A huge shout out to MC Taz for making all this possible. You can catch her on Rainbow Radio every Monday at 9 p.m. I have some amazing guests for you tonight. I have the amazing D-Love, Sigourney Beaver, Bastion Cox, and Tawny Choate. You don't want to miss this. We will be right back to hear from D-Love and here's Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift.
The old tale.
what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Hey guys, welcome back. So we have a little bit of a change of plans, but that's okay. We're just going to go with it. Instead of D-Love, because we have a little bit of technical difficulties, we're going to bring in Sigourney Weaver. She is an amazing diva, and I can't wait to talk to her. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about how you started drag and how Sigourney got started.
I've been performing in theater for the past 10 years, and I branched out and started doing burlesque, which is how I found my way to drag. I wanted to do drag for a really long time, and I asked a lot of people in my community if it was possible for a femme-presenting woman to do femme-presenting drag as a drag queen, and I was told that it would be in bad taste and that I should not do it. But I was attending Miss Gay US of A one year, and I saw Bella Nicole Harlow, who was the reigning diva at the time, and found the Diva USA pageant. And I started doing drag, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. That's basically how I got into it, too, with abs. I didn't know anything about it. And then he was like, oh, there's this thing outside of just performing on stage, and I was very intrigued by it, and it was amazing.
I love it. I love competing and performing. It's great.
Yes, it is. It's an amazing feeling being up on that stage. What would you say is your most memorable moment in drag so far?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, there's been so many. My most recent memorable moment, I just moved from my home in Iowa to Chicago with my partner, McDouche, and I had a going away show at my home bar. And during my final number, I turned around and Mick had organized a bunch of people to stand behind me with a bunch of roses. There were like 40 people with roses for me, and that was very memorable. I cried in drag.
Right.
It was really cute.
So what titles do you have right now?
I am currently Miss Iowa US of A Diva. And I'm a former Miss Blazing Saddle.
When is your give up this year?
My step down is going to be December 2nd at the Garden Nightclub in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's the day after Louisiana.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. I'm excited. I can't wait.
What's
y'all theme this year?
I picked our theme to be Alien Intergalactic Outer Space Eleganza.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of makeup, a lot of, like, big looks and outfits, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really out there.
Yes. What advice would you give to anyone starting out in drag or wanting to start competing for a pageant?
I would say go in with it with an open mind and be ready to work hard and just be very receptive to everything that people are going to want to give you as far as advice and criticisms. Like, take it all in, but don't let it define you.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. So I have some funny moments in drag. Are there any moments that you find that you can just laugh at yourself and not and just go from there? And because I know that happens a lot.
I often have a lot of wardrobe malfunctions where I will have a boob slip out. It happens a lot, unfortunately. It's a risk you take when you push them out there. But those are always
right.
Really, really funny. Yes.
So do you have any drag idols?
I look up to a lot of queens. I love a lot of the queens that I see on RuPaul's Drag Race. I just moved to Chicago, and there's a lot of sickening talent here, like not just queens, but a lot of like genderqueer performers here that are fantastic. I don't know if I could name anyone specifically. I don't know. I would say like my biggest drag aesthetic inspirations would probably be like Jessica Rabbit, Marilyn Monroe, Betty Page, anything that's like super over the top sexy.
Right. That's awesome. I've actually never been to Chicago. And that
really?
That sounds like a really, yes, really.
The drag here is amazing. It's so different than what I've seen in a lot of other places. It's so like art focused and like abstract. It's really, really neat.
That sounds awesome. I will definitely have to make a trip up there.
Yeah, come visit. Come say hey.
Yes. So, do you have any plans for competing this year?
This year, I think I'm going to take a year off just to get settled in Chicago. Otherwise, maybe something might turn up and I might surprise some people and show up at Nationals this year. Who knows?
That would be fantastic. Well, I appreciate you coming on today, and I'm glad that I got to talk to you for a little bit. I can't wait to have you back.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. All righty. So we're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back with one of our amazing promoters, Tawny. Right now, we're going to listen to some music and then give us just a few, and we'll see you back in just a second.
Biggest boss, and I've been in Trillix. I'm a bigger problem when I click with Skrillex. Murder on my mind, it's time to pray to God. My revolver's not religious, the revolution's born. You want to know my name, then go and tell the stars. You want to know my gang, Suicide Squad. Pistol on my waist, I might make a mistake. Dead shot, head shot, oh my God, am I crazy? Drugs every corner, this is Gotham City. Killer croc, came to kidnap you to cut out your kidney. Ain't no mercy, got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé, don't you know that pussy worth it? Flooded Rolex at the Grammy Awards. They still selling dope, that's those Miami boys. Killers everywhere, it ain't no place to run. Forgive me for my wrongs, I have just begun. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé! Don't be begging for your life, cause that's a lost cause. High stakes, body armor, suicide, boy. It's the time for games and it's the time to kill. Make up your mind, baby, cause the time is here. Capital murder, capital letters. Yeah, she catching my vibe, but she can't fathom my chatter. Need a couple gang members for these new endeavors. From this point on, anything we do together. Body on the corner, million in the killers on the corner, talents in the clip. Build a palace out in Paris just to fill with bitches. Say my name and I'm coming with the gun squad. Everybody running, homie, there's only one guard. Cocaine, white Ferrari, I'm in the fast lane. Every day was life and death, that's when the cash came. Count money, drug residue, even blood on it. He had a driver until I put my cuz on it. Kicking in the door for the suicide squad. Needle in my arm, so I'm do or die for it.
Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé.
Hey guys, welcome back. I am excited. I want y'all to give a warm welcome to Tawny Choate, the amazing promoter for Mr. Missouri. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So I hear that you have a prelim coming up. So tell me a little bit about your prelim and what what different prelims you have right now?
Well, currently I own three with US of A. I own Mr. Missouri US of A MI, Mr. Missouri US of A MI Classic, and Miss Missouri US of A Diva. This will be my fourth year, and we are holding a triple crowning event weekend where MI and Classic will be on October 6th. And Diva will be October 7th. I'm super excited.
That's awesome. So, so do you currently do drag or do you just promote right now?
I am actually right now not actively performing, but I am a performer. And I think that's one of the things that's important as a promoter to have actually done performing and have
right.
been a title holder in the past. So I've held two different titles and just recently gave up my last title, two, 3 months ago.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. So I know that your partner is the current reigning for Mr. Missouri Classic. Is that right?
Yes, that is.
So how is it being a promoter and then trying to balance, like, the drag life with your partner and all of that? Because I know a lot of people are trying to balance, like, personal life and the drag life. And how do you go about doing that without making things hard?
Well, you have to have a huge case of OCD, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I'm an organizational absolute mastermind, so to speak. If that's one of the things that I am good at, is being very organized. And you have to basically compartmentalize and organize everything. And we have to take drag out of our personal relationship and keep that just solely at a professional level.
Right.
And I treat him just like I do any other contestant, other than I basically forced him to compete last year. I did. You'll have to ask him the story at some point, but going the week in to the contest, it looked like I only had one competitor, and Missouri has always sent two or three at least in every division,
right.
And I was not going to allow that to happen again. And I work in a travel agency, and we were in a big Christmas rush, and I said, I need you to put a package together and run. And he said, I don't have time to do that. I said, figure it out. And
yeah.
That's basically what happened.
That's awesome. So do you have any drag idols or anybody that you look up to in the drag community?
I look up to each and every one of you who put yourself out there to run in a pageant, honestly. And for those of you that are willing to get up there and pour your heart out on the stage and allow somebody to critique you, that's hard. And also,
yeah.
I know that the majority of you that do so do it with a servant's heart as well. You're giving back to your communities while also putting your time and effort into a package to get basically critiqued and told why you didn't want a crayon. You know, sometimes
right.
It's 25 or 30 people going for one, and when all 30 of you deserve it and only one crown, that's hard. So I admire every one of you.
I really appreciate that. It's promoters like you that make me personally want to come back and do it again, because it's nice to have somebody on your side that's not just giving you money because they want you to go and win to make them look good. It's about the family. It's not about just going to win the crown. I know personally, like last year I didn't win, but it was the best experience of my life. And do you have like any advice to anyone that is wanting to compete or wanting to start promoting and getting into that area? Like, what would you tell them if they were wanting to do any of that?
With competing, literally throw your hat in the ring, take all of your critiques, apply them, but also maintaining who you are at the same time. Maintain your aesthetic, take those critiques and figure out a way to better yourself and better your package to where you still maintain who you are. And for promoting, really, if you're interested in doing it, talk to some of your fellow promoters, talk to people who are already doing so, find out the good, bad, and the ugly, and then just throw your hat in the ring there as well and do it. It's a very expensive but very heartwarming and amazing hobby and a career for some to be a promoter. And I absolutely love it. Missouri's definitely a team. Missouri is a family. And when we go as a family. And, you know, that's basically for me how the whole US of A system is. We don't compete against each other. We compete with each other. And I fully believe that.
Right. I do too. Like, you make some of the best friends that you will ever make in your life going and just being involved in the US of A system. That's why I love it so much.
I agree.
What would you say is your...
I was just going to say some of the best friends that I have to this day I've met through US of A, and that's pretty amazing.
Yes, that's awesome. What would you say is your most memorable moment in drag?
My most memorable moment in drag for me was at my Give Up this last year. I took a number that I had saw at Nationals and made it into my own. I'm a big girl, and I've always had self-esteem and body image issues, and I decided that I was going to put myself out there, and I pretty much at my Pride Give Up did a burlesque number and stripped down to a crop top and booty shorts. And people in the audience cried, and it was huge. And also having my first year being a promoter, a national title holder out of that. That was pretty amazing.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you being here with me tonight. I hope to hear from you soon, and I definitely want to bring your partner on at some point, and have an amazing conversation with him. And I will definitely ask him about how you threw him into drag, because I feel like that is going to be an amazing story.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. He'll be more than glad to do that for you.
Alrighty, well, I can't wait to see you guys soon, and I will talk to you again. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Alright, guys, so we're going to take another quick break to listen to some music, and then we have one of my favorite people. He's one of my best friends, Bastian Cox, with me here tonight. So we're going to listen to some music, and then we'll be right back with him. And I can't wait. See you guys in a second.
Hey girl, open the wall, play with your doll. We'll be a perfect family. When you walk away, it's when we really play. You don't hear me when I say, Mom, please wake up. Dad's just a slut, and your son is smoking cannabis. No one ever listens, this wallpaper glistens. Don't let them see what goes down in the kitchen. Places, places, get in your places. Throw on your dress. She's got it going on, ha. You're blinded by her jewelry. When you turn your back, she pulls out a flask and forgets his infidelity. Oh, she's coming to the attic, plastic. Go back to being plastic. No one ever listens, this wallpaper glistens. One day they'll see what goes down in the kitchen. Slices, slices, get in your places. Throw on your dress and put on your doll slices. Everyone thinks that we're perfect. Please don't let them look through the curtain. Picture, picture, smile for the picture. Pose with your brother, won't you be a good sister? Everyone thinks that we're perfect. Please don't let them look through the curtain. I see things that nobody else sees. C-O-L-L-H-O-U-S-E. I see things that nobody else sees. Hey girl. Perfect family. Places, places, get in your places. Throw on your dress and put on your dog's faces. Everyone thinks that we're perfect. Please don't let them look through the curtain. Picture, picture, smile for the picture. Pose with your brother, won't you be a good sister? Everyone thinks that we're perfect. Please don't let them look through the curtain.
Hey guys, welcome back to From the Heart with Oliver. This is a Rhinestone Royals Productions. I have an amazing king with me here tonight. I give a warm welcome to Bastion Cox.
Hey.
Hi, how are you doing?
Gotta wait for the applause. Gotta wait for the applause. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am so excited that you are on here tonight.
I'm so excited to have you, or to be on your show.
I hear that you have a prelim coming up, so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that, I do. I am still kind of uncertain on which one I am doing. It's really going to rely on the date, but I will tell you, Mr. Texas is coming up on November 10th, and people should totally consider competing. You do not have to have, like, a big drag history. It is not by invite only. It is for anybody who wants in. Anybody.
Yes. What is the theme this year for Mr. Texas?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it is like Willy Wonka.
Ooh.
But I'm not entirely, yeah, it'll be really fun. I'm not
You're
entirely positive
on your
that.
Job here.
Well, I'm not the current reigning anymore, so it wasn't my decision. But I've been fortunate to have friends and promoter friends who are keeping me in the loop. And Missouri is also coming up, too. Sorry, Tawny. Like, I know Tawny just talked, but you should totally check out the Missouri prelim, too. Sorry, Tawny. I forgot because I just listened to you talk about it.
So, tell me a little bit about how you started your drag journey and how Bastion came about.
Okay. So, funny thing is I myself was not going to, like, I didn't have any intentions of doing drag. My friend had this workshop that she was going to go to, and she was going to get into it to be a drag king, and it was like a how to paint your face type thing. And so, but my friend had to work, and so she was like, hey, would you mind going to this for me and, like, taking notes? And I was like, yeah, totally. So it was me and Buck Wild and a couple of other people at this workshop, and I learned all these things, and I was like still not seeing myself as a drag king. And then at the end they were like, okay, when do you guys want to be booked? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I went ahead and, like, wrote down my booking, and I performed Billy Boy on Poison's On My Way. Oh, no, sorry. No, I didn't. I performed it anyway. It doesn't matter. I performed the song, and it was so much fun, and it was great to put the makeup on, put the clothes on, and become this other person and entertain people and get to see people smile, and I was hooked. And then the name, actually, I'm a professional classical musician in my day life. And I was at a party, and maybe we had had a few cocktails, I don't know. And we were trying to come up with a name. and we were like, well, maybe we should have a play on some sort of, like, classical music person. Maybe, like, Johann Sebastian Bach. Sebastian Bach. And then one of my friends in slight inebriation said, what about Bastion Cox? So it started to, pardon me. And then Facebook made me put Cox. COX, and so that is how the name was born, and it stuck. Great. I love it.
Facebook is rude. I don't think Facebook should have made you change it.
Well, you know, like, it kind of works because there is some, like, double entendre there that I'm not going to explain, but it's very subtle, kind of hilarious.
You can if you wanted to, because there are no rules on this show.
Well, no, I mean, like, it's Bastion Cox, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, yeah. So, but yeah, that's how I got started. And then pageantry, like, sort of popped up, and then I was really, really hooked.
Yeah, it definitely, if it wasn't for pageantry, I wouldn't have met you, and that would have made me real, real sad.
I agree, Bubba. Like, I remember our first real encounter, you were staying
yeah.
with Mr. Ab's Heart in the hotel room yeah. next door at Nationals my first year, and we had good times. I remember that fondly.
Yes, yes. What would you say is your most memorable moment in your drag career?
You know, I really have, I have two of them. One of them, I mean, there, I have so many, but like two really stand out in my mind. The first one, as a performer making my audience like respond or whatever, or audience response to me, I was doing this number, and it was completely, it was a very strange number for me to do because there was no lip syncing in it. I'm a tap dancer, and so
right.
one night I had gone to like this tap festival, and I was performing at the end of that week at Sue Ellen's in Dallas. And I was performing a Regina Spektor song, you know, which, of course, it's Regina. I'm not lip-syncing Regina, dressed as a man and whatever. So I just did a tap improv, you know, but, of course, I was totally inspired by this tap festival. And I did a tap improv, and I was, like, so zoned in. Like, I wasn't even looking up, you know, or I don't even remember looking up. And all of a sudden, I look up, and, you know, because I wasn't going around to people, like, collecting money, they were just throwing it on the stage. And this dude comes up. And first off, I looked around the floor, and the floor is, like, littered with money. And then, like, I look up, and this dude is, like, circling me, like, making it rain, like, over and over and over again. And, like, I walked off stage with, like, $197 in $1
oh,
bill.
Wow.
And, like, for, you know, like, for Dallas, that's a lot for a drag king.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, that really gave me the confidence, I think, to say, okay, I can do this. Like, this is not somebody else. Like, this is me, you know? And
yeah.
And then my second most memorable moment was my first year at Nationals. You know, just the whole experience. In general, you know, we, my dancers and I, none of us had been before. I didn't really know a whole lot of people, but it was such a magical week. My dancers came back, and one of them actually got into drag, Kylie Fatel. She's like she's a huge drag queen now in Dallas, but, she was one of my dancers, and we came back and we just raved and repeatedly kept referring to it as queer positivity camp. You know,
yeah.
like, it's not drag nationals, it's queer positivity camp. It's like going to
yeah.
summer camp with like all of the people just like you. It was great.
That's fantastic. And
I got to meet you that year. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. yeah. So any advice that you would want to give anyone like starting out in drag or like wanting to compete this year or in the years to come?
Yeah, totally. So I remember this is something in Dallas that we struggle with a lot. There are not a whole lot of drag kings in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because there's not a whole lot of drag mentorship in the king community in Dallas. There were very few of us when I started. There were a few, but a lot of them were not like actively performing or, you know, none of them, only one of them had ever done pageants before. And so there wasn't
right.
a whole lot of mentorship. And so like for me to get started, I was very self-conscious, especially in a place like Dallas where the queens are all national title holders. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it's just extreme pageant. And there were 47 US of A pageants in Dallas in 2016, you know.
That's crazy.
And so it was very, very, very difficult to get started. And Damien and I were just talking about this last night, that it is like when you're beginning, you know, you feel uncomfortable about messaging people and asking for help, like from an individual, you know, like there are Facebook groups that make it a little easier and whatever, but like you're shy and you're nervous to reach out and say, hey, would you mentor me? Or, hey, what do I need to know because I would like to do this and whatnot? And you feel very self-conscious and very uncomfortable. Well, I will tell you, now knowing who I know and knowing what I know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you don't have to already be good to talk to somebody who is good. Like nobody makes it on their own. You know, it is a community
right.
effort. And so if you were interested at all in performing in drag or competing in pageants, you don't have to be a long-standing performer to perform in pageants. In fact, I have known several kings who the pageant was their first performance. Do I recommend mm-hmm. that? Well, maybe getting a practice run or two in at your club would be great, right. but it is not a requirement. You know, but reaching out and also, you know, in pageant land, like there are three main categories that no matter what system you're competing in, but no matter what system you're competing in, the biggest categories you're going to have is some sort of interview. You're going to have some sort of creative evening wear, and you're going to have a talent portion. And the talent portion is where people get very confused, and myself included when I first started. Talent does not, you don't have to have a special talent. Like, I tap dance, cool, but I don't have to use that as my talent. You don't have to do hacky sacks. You know, you don't have to play the violin.
Right.
Your talent is your illusion. Your talent is your makeup and your personality and your costuming and things like that. That is your talent. You do not have to have something special outside of that to compete.
Right. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was finished. Go ahead.
Well, see, so whenever we had this conversation when I was trying to figure out my talent, and I'm sitting there asking you like what you did and blah blah blah, and you told me about your tap dancing, and I was like, that's a fantastic idea. And then I sat there and I was like, yeah, I'm not that coordinated. That I'm gonna leave that to you, and we're just gonna go with something else.
You know, and that is totally fine. It is absolutely fine. 99% of the talents that I see that win have nothing, like they have lots of special qualities about them, but there is not a specific thing that they're doing that other people don't have the skills already.
Right.
You know, like what wins the pageant is the presentation, the cleanliness, the choreography, the costuming. That's what wins the talent, not the rare abilities, you know?
Right. So I know that I have some very, like, funny moments in drag. Do you have funny moments in drag that you can just look back and just laugh at yourself about?
Well, okay. So first off, while I am a tap dancer, I am also way clumsy, and I trip over the air all the time. I have several like rather embarrassing moments. The first and foremost, last year at Nationals, in evening wear on finals night,
mm-hmm.
I'm modeling my evening wear and I feel great. And I go backstage and I hear, like Damien sends me a message and he's like, "What the hell happened?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I looked at a picture somebody posted, and I was wearing so much compression wear because I have a very feminine shape. So I was
mm-hmm.
wearing lots of compression wear on top, lots of compression wear on bottom, and my compression wear, my hip binder has like boning in it. I mean, like it's intense. And so I didn't feel that my pants had fallen halfway down my ass, like until I saw the pictures and read the comment sheets, and they were like, "These pants used to fit," and I was like, "Oh my God, how embarrassing! I'm so glad I didn't lose them on the stage." and then the other super embarrassing moment. for a long time, it seemed like no matter where I performed, if I was tapping, the person that went before me was always somebody who threw glitter, like mass amounts of glitter, like glitter bombed the stage. And so, you know, of course they sweep it. But like the person that had gone before me this particular time used the super fine powdery glitter. And while they swept it up, you know, glitter never dies. And, and I'm tap dancing, you know, it's metal shoes on a wooden floor. And I totally ate it. Like I slipped and fell, and then it almost happened again. Like, but it was like a, it was like a slide. Like I had slipped on the ice. I was out. But, you know, I got up and I laughed and everybody was laughing with me. And so as long as you can laugh with yourself, you know, like you have to have a sense of humor. There's no such thing as a perfect performance, and you just have to have a sense of humor about it all.
Yes. So, okay, so I just got this really funny text message. And so a family member of mine apparently knows you and got real excited and decided to text me about it. So she wanted me to tell you hi. Her name is Molly Merrill. She currently lives in Tulsa. Yes.
Molly, you know, do you know how I know Molly?
How?
Is that really like a, is that really a family member of yours?
Yes.
Aw, hi Molly. But Molly and I used to live in the dorms, like when we were in college.
That's awesome.
It was so fun. She is such a hoot. I can't believe that. That's so exciting. I didn't know that.
Yes, I didn't know that either. I had to like try not to fall off my bed laughing because she was so excited.
I love it. I love it.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that I got to talk to you today. Hopefully, we can have you back soon.
Yeah, I would like to hear some of your embarrassing stories.
Okay, so my first prelim I did was Indiana. And I went off for talent, and everything was fine. I felt great, and then people started posting pictures. Well, I realized that my pants were unzipped the whole entire time during talent. And I was, luckily, nobody caught it, but I was waiting for, like, reading through my score sheets, waiting for somebody to notice that it was down. Because my shirt was tucked in, and you could really see in those pictures that my pants were unzipped.
That is everything. That is everything.
Yes.
But you laughed with yourself, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah, good, good.
Now I double check every time before I go on stage to make sure that my pants are
good. It's better that it happens, you know, when you're still living and learning.
Yes.
And I know to always wear suspenders under my evening wear now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. Send my love to your other half. I miss him dearly.
I will definitely. Okay, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
All right.
So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with From the Heart with Oliver, and we're going to listen to some more music, and then I got...
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Fun things.
I am aware that I am an asshole. I really don't care about all of that, though.
Hey guys, welcome back. And this is From the Heart with Oliver, Rhinestone Royals Productions. So we had a little bit of change of plans. That's fine. We work with it. We go with it. Not a problem. So with this little bit of extra time that we have left, I kind of want to, since prelim season just started, we just had Mr. Oklahoma, US of A, MI, and Classic. Char Page actually took the title for MI, and I am so happy for him. I can't wait to see what he brings to Nationals. I can't wait. I'm trying, hopefully, to be there for the whole entire week to see all the divas and all the kings. So I can't wait to see what anybody brings. I'm not currently competing this year, taking a year off, but I am still going to support my divas and my kings. Don't worry about that. So I want to talk a little bit about, like, how I got into pageantry and some advice to give to people that are starting out, because this year was my first year. Somehow, not expecting that I would win Mr. Louisiana, US of AMI, but I'm so glad I did. It was the best opportunity that I've had so far. But like I was talking about with Bastion, my first prelim was Indiana with Jody and Tiffany, who are also amazing. I was terrified. And you will probably be terrified for your first, maybe even several times you compete, and you won't necessarily win. I came in, I got second alternate in my first pageant. I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, this is a big accomplishment. I want to go to Nationals. So after prepping and getting my stuff done for Indiana, and making second alternate, it really gave me that drive to go again, because a part of me was like, no, I failed. No, I didn't fail. I went out there. I conquered my fears. Interview is really bad for me because my anxiety is so bad, and just sitting in a room with like five or six people staring at you is terrifying. But I've learned now, competing in two pageants and then competing at Nationals, you're just sitting in a room with a bunch of people. You got to make them laugh. You got to tell them your story and tell them why you want this. You don't go and do it for the crown, the big shiny thing on your head, and the money. That's not what this is about. This is about a brotherhood. This is about a sisterhood. It's about growing in your craft. It's about doing bigger and better things, learning. Never stop learning. I'm continuing to learn till this day, and I will learn for the rest of my life. But after Indiana, I decided to go compete for Louisiana. It was a last-minute decision. I was like, okay, so we're going to do this, and whatever happens, happens. My brother, Roman Royal, Ross now, was there. That was his first pageant he competed in. He came all the way from Texas, and I came all the way from Arkansas. Traveling is really hard. It's really expensive. You gotta pay for your people to get there. You gotta pay for you to get there. You gotta get a room, and not to mention everything that you put into your package in there. You can't do it alone. That's for sure. You got family. You got friends that will help you. Like, even your supporters at the bar that who you may not necessarily would know outside of your drag persona, but they're there to support you. And he was so nervous about going into interview. I mean, I still was too, but It helped that I knew some of the people on the panel, so my anxiety was a little bit eased. But he was having, I could see that he was dealing with the same feelings that I was dealing with the first pageant in Indiana. And I was like, look, I was like, it helped us bond because we were both going through the same thing. I helped ease his mind a little bit. And the funny thing is I was so excited for no matter what the outcome was of this pageant. My goal had been completed. My goal was going to nationals. Whether I had won that crown or not, Roman was just as deserving of that title as me or anybody else who would have stepped on that stage. And I give him big props because going out there, especially not being in your home state and putting your all on that stage is really big. And he's an amazing entertainer, and I can't wait to see what he brings this year. I can't wait. But they announced him as first alternate, and I was so excited that he won first alternate. I didn't even realize that there was, you know, this whole other thing about, you know, there's still somebody that has to get another sash, and there's still somebody that is getting this crown on their head, and that's going to have this reign for a year, and that didn't even cross my mind. I was so happy for my brother that I didn't even think about it, and that's what this is about. It's not about winning the shiny bejeweled crown that goes on your head. It's about being excited for your brother to get to go to nationals with you. You're not competing against them, you're competing with them. You make family out of this. You make everlasting friends that will never change. They will always be there, whether you decide to compete again or not, or whether you don't compete at all. You go and you have this family that will forever be there with you and support you no matter what. I can't wait to go back to nationals this year. And even though I'm not competing, I know each and every one of those kings and divas is still my family, and they still love me no matter what. And that's what this is about. And I can't wait for, I mean, it's a bittersweet moment to have your step down, but I can't wait to see who the next deserving king is to get the title of Mr. Louisiana. I'm ecstatic. I can't wait. I just want to thank everybody for listening in tonight, to my favorite Kings and Divas for stopping by tonight, Sigourney Beaver, Tawny Choate, and Bastion Cox. I appreciate y'all coming in and having a talk with me. I love getting to know more about the drag community and the different places. I can't wait to go visit, because that's my next goal, is to go visit all these new places and to see all these people perform outside of the pageant scene, because there are endless opportunities. Don't forget that the next prelim is actually Mr. Georgia. It's September 24th. I want to give a shout out to my brother, Jordan Michael McCord. I believe it is a triple crowning event. Don't quote me on that. But Seduction Dickerson is who is the current reigning diva right now. She is the emeritus for Georgia. So she is actually stepping down, but she is the current reigning until next March. But the theme is Leather and Lace. Owen McCord is the promoter for that. The next one is Mr. Arkansas back in my hometown on September 29th. D'Angelo is going to be stepping down. I can't wait to see what he brings this year, too. The theme is State Fair, and I believe that one also is a triple crown as well. Val Victoria, who just stepped down this year, My Classic and Diva, are the new promoters for Mr. Arkansas. And then Mr. Missouri is October 6th. Phoenix Lafay, who is wonderful, very sweet, is stepping down. The theme is Beatlemania. Ty Choate is the promoter for that. I'm glad I got stopped here a little bit. Mr. Louisiana US of A, MI, and Diva is going to be December 1st. Location is still to be announced, but as soon as we get everything finalized, we will let y'all know. I appreciate y'all, and I can't wait to be back October 11th and then to announce more prelims and to announce the new winners for Mr. Georgia, Mr. Arkansas, and Mr. Missouri. Those are the ones that are before the next show. I can't wait to talk to y'all again. Here's a couple more songs before we head out. And you can listen to this show again at blogtalkradio.com. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Oliver Hart. Yeah, I can't wait to talk to y'all again. See you next time.
Walking down the street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Trying to play it coy, trying to make it disappear, but just like the Battle of Troy, there's nothing subtle here. In my room there's a king-size space, bigger than it used to be. If you want, you can rent that place. Call me an amenity. Even if it's in my dreams.
Serpentine.